Today I'd like us to go, if we could, to the last words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven, here in Acts chapter 1. Very well-known passage. And starting in verse 6 this morning, the Bible says, "When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." So today, our title is, "Ye Shall Be Witnesses." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of assembling here this morning around your precious word. And pray the Holy Spirit would now take it and speak to each of our hearts personally. Lord, each of us would ask the question, am I a witness for Jesus Christ? And Lord, if there's someone here not sure they're born again, may they realize Jesus made it very clear that we must be born again or we will not see the kingdom of God. Have your way in every heart. Be glorified through this time. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. As I shared, these were the last words Jesus shared with man on earth before he ascended to heaven. And he had just spent 40 days with his disciples after the resurrection, teaching his disciples from the scriptures. Imagine what that would be like, having 40 days with Jesus, learning the word. But after all of that, they were still Jews, and they were still waiting for the kingdom. The Jews have been waiting for a kingdom for a very long time. They know that they've been promised a kingdom. And that's the first question, the last question that they asked Jesus here in verse 6. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Remember when Jesus came on the scene and John the Baptist started preaching as well, the first thing they said was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom that Israel had been waiting for, it was offered to them, but they had to repent and they had to accept Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah, which they did not do. And so that offer was eventually rescinded. Jesus went to Calvary, died for our sins, rose again, spent time with his disciples and ascended back to heaven. But it's interesting that that was their question. Of all the learning that they just went through for 40 days and 40 nights, their question was, Lord, do we get the kingdom now? Essentially, we acknowledge you are the King of Kings. We acknowledge that you are the answer. You are the Messiah from the Old Testament. Are you going to now restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. In other words, not yet. Gentlemen, not yet. And in that word, but, in verse 8, he basically said the kingdom is on hold. Something new is about to happen. And that is what we find ourselves in now for 2,000 years, the church age. But ye shall receive power. They hadn't received it yet, but it's about to happen. Chapter 2, of course, we're very aware, is when the Holy Spirit came down and began to indwell Christians permanently, or at least until they died or went to heaven through the rapture. That was a new thing. Now, Jesus had promised this would happen. If you look at Luke 24 and verse 49, he told them this was coming. And of course, at the time, they did not understand it completely. But notice chapter 24, verse 49, he says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." This Jesus saying to his disciples, wait at Jerusalem until you be endued, until you be gifted power from on high. Which they did. They did wait in that upper room. But this power, think about this power. There are no limitations on this power because it comes from the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is God. Amen? And when we become Christians, if you go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, we'll see this. When we become Christians, God, in the person of the Holy Ghost, moves in and indwells us. We become the temple of the Holy Ghost or the temple of God, and brings with him not only teaching and conviction, but he brings with him this power. Power. Notice Romans 8, 9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell on you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Holy Ghost living in you, you're not a Christian. That's what God's telling us there. If you are a Christian, you do have the Holy Ghost living in you. The Holy Ghost is God. And when he moved in, he brought power. One more verse, Ephesians 1:13, about the Holy Ghost moving in. Ephesians chapter 1. And so every believer, every Christian that has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior has been given this amazing gift from Almighty God, the gift of his presence and his power. It's amazing to think that our Creator would choose to indwell sinful man. But he does. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The day that we believed the gospel, God worked a miracle and sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus promised, I will give you the Holy Ghost. I will give you this power. Look at John chapter 7, verse 38. Very early in his ministry, he prophesied of this amazing gift. Yes, we receive the gift of eternal life, but we even receive the gift of God's presence and power when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. John chapter 7, look at verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, we don't completely understand this, but it seems in God's program that only one person of the Trinity dwells on earth completely at a time. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples, he won't come until I leave. I'm paraphrasing. But notice he said the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus went to heaven, the Holy Ghost came down. He went to heaven in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Ghost came down in Acts chapter 2. Everything changed. And now God indwells man. But let's go back to our verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Once the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he says, you shall receive power. But what is the main purpose of this power? He tells us, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. God has a purpose in everything he does. His purpose for giving us the power of the Holy Ghost was so that we could tell others about him. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose again, so that people could be rescued from their sins and the consequences of their sins. That's number one for God. Amen. Is that we be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. God wants everyone saved. And so he says, I'm going to give you power, infinite power. For what purpose? Ye shall be witnesses. And then later on in the New Testament, you know what we're commanded to be? Filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. When we got saved, we did not lose our free will. We still make decisions every day to obey God or to disobey God, to serve God or to not serve God. The Holy Ghost moved in and gave us this power, but we must avail ourselves of the power by yielding to him, being filled by him. That is something we have to do on our end. We have to let him take control. And if we will, what is he going to do? Give us power. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, if you would. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And so we can find in this passage then that a symptom of not being filled by the Holy Spirit is not witnessing. That's the logical conclusion. Because he said, ye shall. He didn't say you might. He didn't say if you're in the mood. He said, I'm going to give you power and ye shall be witnesses. You're going to use my power, but you shall. 2 Corinthians 5:18, look what it tells us. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God has given us a ministry. It's the ministry of reconciliation. God is willing to reconcile with every sinner. But the reconciler is Jesus Christ. And his blood, his payment for sin, his resurrection, that is the only way man can be reconciled to his Creator, is through Jesus. He says, I'm going to give you power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And now it's your job, gentlemen, as soon as you get this power, to tell others about me. Amen? That's our number one mission, is to tell others about Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, if you'll turn there, that when the Holy Spirit moved in, that we don't have a place to say, I'm afraid to witness. And if we are afraid to witness, what does the Bible say? God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit who moved in is not the spirit of fear. So if we're afraid, it didn't come from God, did it? God actually gave us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind when he moved in. So why should we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So we can be witnesses. Why did God move in the day we got saved? So we could be witnesses. So we could spread the good news. Every one of us, if we had time, could tell the story about how someone along the way either invited us to church, gave us a tract, started telling us about Jesus Christ, and eventually we found the gospel, we got saved. Amen? Every one of us could tell that story. And it's worked for 2,000 years. Every person today that's a believer is a believer because someone availed themselves of the power of the Holy Ghost and they witnessed Jesus Christ to them. It's that simple. He tells us here in verse 8, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth, he wants every church to be a both church. In other words, reaching out to your local community, your Jerusalem, but also reaching out via missionaries, like our missionary brother Dan, to the world. Amen? And we do that through giving. Their names are on the back wall there and those bulletin boards. We can never do enough to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. And you know, this is exactly how the book of Acts is broken down. In Acts chapter 1 through verse 7, chapter 7, they just focused on Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 8 through 12, they focused on Judea. In Acts 8 and 9, they focused on Samaria. And then starting in Acts 10 until the end of the book of Acts, what was the focus? The Apostle Paul reaching the uttermost. Amen? And we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Paul reaching out to the Gentiles. Because as far as I know, I don't think there's a proper Jew in this room this morning. Probably not. And Paul understood this mission, and when God called him, he immediately went out and said, I have the power. I'm going to start witnessing. Look what happened. Church after church after church got started. And the Philippian church, of course, was a great example of a church that cared about missions. They supported Paul financially. They helped him when they could. And that's our mission. Why did God come down? Why did God move in? Well, for a lot of reasons, the Holy Spirit is there to teach us, guide us into all truth, teach us all things. John 16:13, He's there to convict us. John chapter 7, He's there to guide us. But He's also there to empower us so that we might fulfill the final mission that Jesus Christ gave to us as His disciples. Ye shall be witnesses. Amen? Ye shall be witnesses. All of us should take that as a challenge. Am I a witness for Jesus Christ? Do I tell people about my Savior, what He did for me? All of us can share our testimony and tell others about the one who changed us and gave us eternal life. All of us can do that. And the Holy Spirit moved in to give us the power to do it. Amen? We shall be. You know, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, hopefully all of us can, well, once we get into heaven, we can all hug someone that God allowed us to witness to. Amen? And that found Christ because of us. Won't that be the most amazing thing? And we won't be in a hurry, so we can take, 10 years and have a discussion with them and then move on to the next one. You shall be witnesses. Not might, not if you're in the mood. You shall. Let's pray. Lord, we love You, and we can't thank You enough for the gift of eternal life, for the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who has given us power. And Lord, if we have fear of any kind that keeps us from witnessing, help us to yield to the Holy Spirit of God who takes away the fear. Just tell people about Jesus. Lord, that they also might be rescued from their sin and the consequences of their sin as we have been. So please have Your way in our hearts. And Lord, if there's someone again in this room, they believe that there's a God, but they've not come to that point where they know, based on the Scriptures, that they are born again, I pray that today they'd be willing to take that step and come forward and say, I want to know more. I want to hear the gospel. I want to know that I'm saved. Please work that miracle in those hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name.